Thank you for that song. Bless my heart. It is good to be back with you. I was thinking this morning, I think the first time I came here was a conference back in the mid-90s. I enjoyed meeting y'all then, and it's still a joy. It's amazing, and as we live in this world, how God allows us to meet other believers and how He unites our hearts together and allows us, sinners, to come before Him and worship. I pray God enables us this morning, by His grace, to worship Him. If you would open your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John the Baptist had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, Art thou he that should come? Art thou the Christ, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, You go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as those disciples departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, Behold, I send my messenger before my face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And all the prophets in the law, they prophesied unto John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Here John the Baptist sits in prison. Can you imagine the things that are going through his mind? You know why he's in prison? Because he told Herod that it was unlawful for him to have his brother Philip's wife. Basically, he's waiting to be executed. And while he's there in prison, he hears of the works of Christ. He hears the things of Christ. And he asks the question, maybe in his mind, is he the Christ? Or do we look for another? As we've done seen here, our Lord said there's none greater that's born of woman than John the Baptist. He was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. But could it be that this man, is he still mortal? Oh, yeah. Could it be that he's still a sinner? Oh, yes. Could it be that he would doubt? Oh, yes. I've read, you know, several, if you read from commentaries, everybody has their own opinion. You know what? No one knows except for our Lord and John what he was thinking, but he was concerned. He had two of his disciples. He said, would you go ask him? and inquire of him, "Are you the Christ? Or do we look for another?" Our Lord said, and he warned his disciples before he died, he said, there are going to be many preaching Christ. And you know, and I just wondered this morning, I just wondered if they were other people, like they are now, who claim to be Christ. And they even said, are you the Christ? Or do we look for another? As believers, we can be filled with doubt. We can. He was in a prison. A dungeon, a damp, dark, depressing place. Probably just in a small, narrow place put there. Put there by God's sovereignty. Put there by God's will. His servant? Oh yes, he put him there. John may have been filled with doubt. We was talking yesterday, talking to someone. You remember Elijah? Remember Elijah standing on Mount Carmel against all those false prophets? One woman named Jezebel said, "By this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you." And he gets terrified. And this man who goes to glory without dying is sitting here under a juniper tree praying that God would just take him on. This man that went to glory without dying asked God to just take him. If they can, we can. We're just dust. We're just dust. David said one time, there is but one step between me and death. One step. John may have thought or said in his heart, are you really the one? And this is the one who said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can a man like John be full of doubt? Yeah, you can too. We can. I've been right where John is at. Heart full of unbelief, and with unbelief comes fear. Our love seems so cold. We read and we can't even remember what we read. How, it's like John Newton, 'tis a point I long to know. Often it brings me anxious thought. Am I his or am I not? The same man who wrote Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Are you Christ? And do I really believe in Christ? Is this really the gospel? Or is there another? Look what our Lord said. He said, notice the grace. They said, I can see them come. He said, you go show John again. So he showed him before. Go show him again. No matter how many times you've heard the gospel, you know what he does? He reminds you again that he's the Christ. There is none other. There isn't another. The Lord gives him assurance and he lists three things. He said the lame walk. I mean, the blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's him. That's him. These men that he came to see. And when John, he gave him these answers and sent him away. And now the Lord is going to tell these people, these multitude, you imagine these people, they're standing there and they could probably hear these men ask our Lord this question. And as they leave, he says, I'm going to tell you something about John. He said, what did you go out to see? A lot of these people had probably went to hear John. You imagine living in such dead, dark religion, Judaism. And here comes a man out of nowhere preaching the gospel. And who in the world is this guy? That's what happened. It's like Elijah. It's just like he just shows up. Here is God's prophet raised up, come out of the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey. He said, what did you hope to see? You were curious. What did you expect to see when you went out there? A reed shaken with the wind? An old timid man that just moved by every wind of doctrine? Oh no, that's not John. John walks in and said, Herod, you sinned. That's not a reed shaken by the wind. But he said, is that what you thought you were going to see? Or did you hope to see, or what did you think to see? A man in soft clothes. They live in king's houses. This man didn't live in a king's house. Now he worshiped the king. He was the messenger of the king. But see, that's what men think, isn't it? They have this idea in their mind, oh, what's he going to be like? What's he going to be like? He's not a man of the world. He's not living to impress men. He lived a hard life. And he was a man like Elijah. He said, what went you out for to hear? A prophet? They hadn't had a prophet in 400 years. Our Lord said, he's much more than a prophet. He's the last Old Testament prophet that was prophesied in the book of Malachi. He was sent to point men to Christ. I can see him as he's standing there in the Jordan River that day, and he said, there he is. There he is. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he said, of those that are born of woman, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than you. That's grace. But you notice he didn't say these things about John when them servants were there. He waited till they left. We're still proud. We can't stand praise. And he waited till they were gone. But then he said, this is who John was. That man in the prison, he may doubt, but he was my servant. He was my prophet that was sent by me and to proclaim and point me, men, to me. Now look in verse 12. And from the days that John the Baptist began to preach until now, there's a commotion going on. John is now in prison and Christ is exalted. People become the fallen. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. From the days when John the Baptist began to preach, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That seems strange language, doesn't it? It seems almost like a bunch of criminals trying to take over a castle. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Let me read you this from the Amplified. I think this is a good definition or interpretation of this verse. Now listen. From the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize, the pearl of great price. It's a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with ardent zeal and intense exertion. They have to have it. It's like it's not theirs. It's like they don't have a claim to it. This is talking about the publicans and the sinners pressing into it. That's the parallel passage in Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, what the kingdom of God is preached, the king is here, and every man presses into it. That word press means to crowd oneself. Here's another one, Luke chapter 13, verse 22. Now listen. And he went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say, will seek to enter in, and they won't be able. What the word strive mean? It means to agonize. It means to labor fervently. It means to fight. You know why? There are so many hindrances to try to prevent you from entering in. Strive. Listen. We must be concerned about others. I wish my whole family were striving to enter into the straight gate. But our responsibility is to seek the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves, whether anyone else does or not. Strive to enter in. As you pray, Lindsay, that God would clear our minds of every hindrance. Even when we sit and try to worship, we have to strive to enter into the straight gate, and that's Christ. He's the gate. Let's look at a few of these. The scriptures has referenced the violent men. You picture these publicans and sinners. I could see the old Pharisees and scribes, and you have no right here. I could see them saying that to the old Gentiles. You have no right here, you dog. Most people said, we're the sons of Abraham. Our Lord said, if you were the sons of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. But listen, when God begins a work in a man's soul, the constant effect of God's work is to set that person to striving to enter in at the straight gate. And where God's Spirit is really striving with us, we will begin to strive to enter in. It's His work. It's His grace. They are desperate. They are violently engaged. I heard Maurice say years ago, and I stuck with me, Maurice Montgomery. He said if men really believed, and they really believed that Christ was the only salvation, they would be a stampede of people trying to get to Him because they're desperate. The violent take it by force. They have to have Him. Nothing else will do. And nothing will hinder them. It's like a person, if you were really hungry, I mean really hungry, and you knew where food was at, all you would be interested in was getting to the food. You didn't care who was in the way, and you wouldn't care if the food was on a china plate or a paper plate. All you're interested in is the food. Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're going to be filled. They'll be filled. These sinners are in need of mercy. Mercy. One of the first ones I think about is the woman with the issue of blood. Had the issue 12 years. And under the law, she was unclean. Under the law, she had no right to be there. See what I'm saying? She knows it's not her. She knows she's an outcast. She's been looked at, and she's tried every physician. She's tried every preacher. She's tried every formula to get better. They'd say, well, just live right. Just read your Bible more. Just pray more, and you can be better. She tried all that. She spent her last dime, and she grew worse. But here she comes. It said she touched the hem of His garment, so she must have been crawling through a crowd to get to Him. You know what that is? That's the violent taking it
by force. She could have said, I can't get to him. I could see somebody say, why don't you just get out of the way? No, she knew how she knew. It was just grace. She had to get to him. You know what? She got to him. And our Lord said, somebody touched me. And I picture a crowd. I picture our Lord just having to walk like this. People just pushed up against to him. And the disciples said, what are you talking about? Somebody touched you. Everybody's touching you. He said, no, somebody touched me. You imagine this. Touching the Son of God and never touching him. A lot of people touch him. They disbelieve doctrine and all these things. They can be like Judas. They can walk up and kiss him and never know him. But she pressed through, crawling on her knees. Another one. Jacob, Esau's brother. The birthright's not rightfully Jacob's. It's rightfully Esau's. You see, it's not. He's going to take what's not rightfully his. And when they were born, I don't know what these children knew, but I know they struggled in their mother's womb, that Jacob reaches out and grabs hold of Esau's heel. You know what he's wanting? The birthright. He has to have it. And then you know the story. God takes him over to Laban's house and he breaks him and he has to come back. And God brings him to a place called Peniel. And God's going to wrestle with him. And God's going to wrestle with Jacob, so Jacob will wrestle with him. God wrestling with us, that's no match. But you think that God wanted Jacob. And Jacob did wrestle with him. The angel said, turn me loose, which was Christ. And he said, I can't turn you loose. Got to have the blessing. And he said, what's your name? Jacob. I'm just a worm. He said, I'm changing your name to Israel. And what he did, he got the blessing. And the Lord will wrestle with you till you wrestle with him. I can't turn you loose. I can't. This is a matter of life or death, and Jacob never walked the same. Another example, if you turn to Luke chapter 24, those two men walking on the road to Emmaus. It talks about their hearts being slow, their hearts being burdened. Luke 24:25, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now they're walking, just walking down the road, and they don't realize who he is. And they drew nigh to the city where they were went. And our Lord made, don't you see this picture? They're walking up the road, and he's talking to them. Come a fork in the road, and they know this is the way they go. Well, he acts like he's going on up this way. They think he's going on. You know what they did? It said, but they constrained him. This is what's so strange, that the sovereign Son of God would allow some sinful creature to constrain him. They said, please don't go. Would you come to my house? That's the kingdom suffering violence, and the violent. Take him. Take him. And you know what he did? He went to their house.
And he sat with them and broke bread, and said as he broke bread, their eyes were opened. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way? Now, from where they were at to Emmaus is 7 miles. That's a pretty good stretch. They just walked the 7 miles. Can you imagine how tired they are? It's at the end of the day. They didn't lay down and go to sleep. They said, we got to tell somebody what we just heard and who we just... He's alive. And they run that 7 miles back to Jerusalem. What do you think is on their mind? One thing. Telling the other disciple, he's alive. He's alive. Our Lord wanted them to constrain him, and they did. Someone else I thought about. In the Song of Solomon, listen, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I couldn't find him. Well, what are you going to do? Just lay there? I will arise and go about the city in the streets, and in the broadways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. And I sought him, but I found him not. Did she just say, well, I'll just go back. It's not what, oh no, I gotta find him. I know by nature there were none that seeks after God. But I do know this also. If God ever puts it in your heart to seek him, you'll seek him. And you'll seek him till you find him. And you won't be satisfied till you find him. The watchman that go about the city found me, and whom I said, have you seen him whom my soul loveth? And verse 4, it was but just a little that I passed from them that I found him whom my soul loveth. And I held him and wouldn't let him go. That's him. And I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Blind Bartimaeus, there's so many of these. He's not only blind, he's a blind beggar. He's the son of Timaeus, which means he was the blind son of a blind father. His father was blind and he was blind. We inherited it from our father. We're born blind. And he hears that Jesus is passing by. And it said, when our Lord came out of Jericho, Mark chapter 10, verse 46, and notice this, when he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great and most number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard it, it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now that's what he heard. It was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, Jesus. Now he didn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. This man knew something about this person. This is the Messiah, the son of David. Have mercy on me. And then he charged him that he should hold his peace. You need to calm down. Why are you so excited? Just calm down. You need to be quiet. You're disturbing everybody. You know why they were saying that? Because they wasn't blind. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And listen, Herod couldn't stop him. Nobody could stop our Lord. But the cry of a sinner, Jesus stood still. He had to have him. The Lord, he knew, I think, in his heart, the Lord may never pass that way again. And he cried out. And he kept crying out. And the Lord stood still. and showed him mercy. One more. The Canaanite woman. Talking about not being entitled to it. She was a Gentile dog. When she came, the Lord, it just ignored her. The disciple says, won't you just send her away? She's bothering us. Then he said, it's not me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. How many people would stand there and be called a dog? But she said, truth, Lord. That's right, I'm a dog. But I'm your dog. And the dogs get to eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She said, would you give me a crumb? The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. This violence does not end when Christ makes himself known to us. If he is those that he's forgiven of much, loveth much. We have, it's like, you know, I just thought about it now. You think about John. I don't read anywhere that the Lord visited him in prison. Can you imagine what he thinks? Well, you know, if only he'd come visit me. What am I to do? Well, here's all I can do. I'm going to send me two disciples. And they come back and they say, yeah, I think that's him. And the Lord used that to encourage his heart. The violent man, Spurgeon said, is always successful because nothing can hinder him. I like the story there when Abraham sent for a servant back in Genesis 24 to get a bride for Isaac. And the servant goes and finds Rebecca. You know, they take him back to the house, and he's there on an errand. He's there. No, he's not there to socialize. He's there to find a bride for Isaac. That's his mission. And they said, come on, we've got a meal fixed. Won't you come up here and sit down and eat with us? He said, no, wait a minute. I didn't come here to eat. He said, don't you hinder me. I've got a message to tell. And he told his message. He told him why he came. He told him who sent him. And he was there for a bride. Okay, then they eat. And the next day, he's going to take the bride, Rebecca. He's going to take her to meet Isaac. And her mama, Rebecca's mama and brother, Laban, said, let's see if we can keep her to stay. She don't really need to go. And said, why don't you let her stay 5 or 10 days? He said, I didn't come to stay 5 or 10 days. I'm come on my mission. I'm going to take her. And they said, well, let's call her. She's never seen Abraham. She's never seen Isaac. All she knows about him is what the servant told her. And they looked at her and they said, will you go with this man? And she said, I sure will. Kingdom of God suffers violence. And I can see him come riding in on them camels. And Isaac says, that's her. And she says, that's him. May God give us grace to seek him with all of our heart. Amen.